I'm just going to read before Paul comes to share, and the reading is taken from Matthew chapter 15, no, chapter 14 even, and it's the story of Jesus walking on the water. So chapter 14, verse 22. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God."
Thanks, Lynn. Thank you. Just add my thanks to you all for your prayers, your constant prayers, and your financial support too from this church. So we're very grateful for that. It's good. Thank you for your special welcome as well. I was just trying to think whether I ever got a special welcome when I used to come here regularly. Always did get a welcome, that's sure. But I'll be sort of judging through the time as things go on what the special bit is. So, you know, maybe it's that extra something. I don't know, do you have biscuits afterwards these days? Or? We get two biscuits, all right. That is the special welcome for sure. That's right. So it is great to be back with you, and it's great to be here. I did have to stop in your conservatory. I'm surprised half of you aren't sitting out there just admiring the view as people do in their conservatories. But it's good you've come in here. And this is the first time we've seen that out there, though much of this is obviously familiar, so that's great. Let's pray as we open God's word together, and then let's dig into this. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the example of our Lord Jesus, who, when on earth, did so many things, which actually teach us so many things. And Father, how he lived and died that we might have this relationship with you. Father, this morning we are in your presence. Father, this morning we've already committed ourselves to the working of your Holy Spirit in our minds and our lives, and we ask that as we look into this passage, you would teach us more as to how you want us to live for you. Father, if the things that I say which are irrelevant, then Lord, as I've prayed in this church many times, may it just pass through those doors. But if this stuff that comes from this morning's message, which is of you, then write it on our hearts that we might be the more effective in our service for you, and grow deeper in our love for you as we know you love us. So we pray these prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, it was really quite interesting when I got the title from Louise and saw where you were going with your pattern of Sunday services. And when I saw that you were doing this series about growth, and this morning was stepping out of the boat, I thought, wow, that's really quite something, because there are parts of our journey, Lynn's and my journey, that really do fit with that, and so that's good, and I'll share a little bit and allude to that, but not actually too much, because as Lynn knows, if I start on an example or a story, I sort of ramble on, and do you know one of the first things I did when I sat down was I looked around and I thought, where have they put the clock? Because And those of you who know me when I was here know that the clock's actually quite important. So you haven't moved the clock. I'm not sure if it's the same clock, actually. But you haven't moved the clock, so that's good. So so Hilary, I'm with you. I'll just be, you know, if you do that, Hilary, I'll know you're not praising the Lord, you're pointing to the clock, okay? The second thing that crossed my mind, actually, when I looked at the passage, I thought, well, it reminded me of something I'd read once, and now whether this is true or not, I don't really know. But it is said that on a church notice sheet, 1 week, people read this. Next week, morning service, theme, Jesus walks on water. Evening service, 6 o'clock, theme, looking for Jesus. I'm not sure whether the RNLI had any part in that at all, but it did just amuse me. Now, as I alluded to in my prayer, as we look into these stories of the Bible, there is so much we can learn about Jesus, about what he did, the sort of person he was. But actually, there's more to it than that, because in the Bible, there are principles for us to learn, but there's also things that were going on at the time as well. And one of those things is that as we read the accounts of what Jesus did, he is actually teaching his disciples. He is building from one event to another event so that his disciples will grow in him and they will learn more about him and really what it's all about. So it's not just taking a story in isolation, but sometimes it's good to look back and look forward. Now, some of you think that's dangerous because once he gets back to Genesis and starts working through, we're for a long time. But no, but that is what it's true. 2,000 years on, the Bible is still so relevant for us today. As we learn and we grow, as we experience, so we grow more. And with each thing, we become more wise spiritually. Now, that means that I should be very wise now, but that's actually a bit debatable, so we won't go there. But what I will do is this. As we look at the context, Matthew and Mark, in their Gospels, show this incident of Jesus walking on water following the feeding of the 5,000. Now, I'm not going to pack about the feeding of the 5,000, but I'm just going to run you through a sequence so that you understand where the disciples are at this point. In chapter 14, verse 10, we read that evening approached, the crowd was still there, and Jesus was teaching them. The disciples wanted to send them away, but Jesus feeds them. Then 22 of chapter 14, immediately, it says, Mark and Matthew use this term, just to keep us flowing with the action. Immediately, Jesus sends the disciples off in a boat. Verse 23, evening comes. So evening is actually here there. Jesus is alone praying in the hills, but there's a boat going out across the lake. Now, the time of night is between 3 o'clock and 6 o'clock in the morning. The Romans had 4 watches of the night, 6 o'clock in an evening to 6 o'clock in the morning, and they were 3 hours each. You know, 6 till 9, 9 till 12, 12 till 3, and the last watch is 3 till 6. On the fourth watch, this boat had been going across this lake during the night. They'd been rowing away, but the wind was so strong, the waves were pushing the boat one way. They were trying to go another way, and they'd been struggling all night. That's the context. In the boat, you have a group of men. They are the disciples. What do we know about these men? Some of them were fishermen. A number of them were fishermen. They knew the boat very well. They knew the Sea of Galilee very well. They had fished on it hundreds of times. They had experienced all sorts of conditions during their time as fishermen. They knew the situation very well. They knew what to do in all different kinds of situations. But that night, the going was particularly tough. The boat, to many of them, would have been their second home. Their second home, their place of security, their place of comfort, the place where they just instinctively knew what to do. Give me a tent peg and a mallet, and I know what to do. I don't even have to think about it. For these guys, fishing on the Sea of Galilee was as natural as that. Jump on in time. Jump on to 1989. What were you doing in 1989? We haven't got time to take answers, so you're okay. What were we doing in 1989? Well, there was a family. Once upon a time in 1989, it rhymed. There was a family, and they were living on the Wirral. The husband was a teacher. The wife was a mother, and they had two little girls. They were in a good church. They were involved in that church. They had a heart to serve the Lord. The mother was involved in mums and toddlers and was doing Bible studies with some of the mums who came to the mums and toddlers. Husbands was involved in teaching with the young people and out there in evangelism, going into people's homes with the vicar. And God said one day, God said, get up and go. Get up and go. Now, it wasn't quite like Abraham. It wasn't get in your car. Now, the Wirral is in Merseyside. So it wasn't get in your car, get out on the M6 and just start driving. Not quite like Abraham. But it was leave your house, leave your lovely little garden, your church, and your friends, and the security of a job. The husband was a head of department in a secondary, quite a large secondary school. Leave your church, your friends, the security of your job, and leave all things that are familiar. And go. Go down. Now, actually, the M40 hadn't quite... Well, I think the M40 might... No, it hadn't quite been finished. So it wasn't even come down the M40 from Birmingham. It was come down by some way. Anyway, to Gerrard's Cross. To a place called Bulstrode Park, where there was a ex-stately home. It was join WEC and live in this semi-community. And trust me. Trust me for what you're going to do. Trust me for how you're going to live. Trust me for how I'm going to build your network of friends. Trust me to find a church that you can serve me in. Trust me. Trust me. Get up and go. Now, it didn't just happen like that, but I haven't got time to go into all the other details. But this family, we, actually, Lynn, self, Rachel and Becky, because Matthew had the privilege of being born down here and dedicated in this church, just about there. But I think there was a pulpit at that stage. It was us to come down here. And, yeah, we found a church that wasn't bad, really. And it was here. Yeah. Interesting. This was leave your security. Leave all that was in place. Step out of the comfort zone. God clearly directed. And we obeyed. We found that God was there in Gerrard's Cross too. He provided all that we needed. You have to ask yourself, what is your place of comfort, your place of security, your safe track? Now, I have to say, stepping out of the boat does not necessarily mean some big thing like I've just described happened to us. It can be as simple as stepping out across the road to speak to a neighbor. That can be well out of our comfort zone. It could be volunteering to do a particular thing, to help someone in need for a period of time. It can be taking on a task or a role within the church. While we were here at Sea Green, my wife Lynn was asked to help lead worship and to take her turn on a rota to come up at the front and lead the worship as Hilary has done this morning. Was it outside her comfort zone? You telling me it was outside her comfort zone. I was the one who sat at home with her. She's laughing now. Would you like to take over from Hilary Love now? Yeah. For a time, Lynn led worship. People said they appreciated that, and I believe she is gifted in that area. But it was way outside the comfort zone. It took something, faith and trust and confidence in God, to get up there I was preaching. I'd be preaching quite often in the church, as many of you know, and I didn't have the same. It's always a bit nervous when you preach. You always want to make sure that you're in tune with God and where it's going. But that was well outside the comfort zone for them. Our boats, you see, our boats are very different. And we're challenged in different ways. The things we're challenged to do is different. But each time we do that, we grow, we move on, and I must move on. What happens in the story? Well, the story's been read to you, so you know that, but let's just outline one or two things. Jesus sees them struggling, and he walks out towards them. The disciples are fearful, and Jesus reassures them. And he says, Peter said this, we really don't know, but he said, if it's you, Lord, if it really is you, bid me come up to you on the water. And that's what Jesus did. That's what Jesus did. This is all about faith, isn't it? This is all about faith. And Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 tells us this. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we actually need to bear that in mind as we sort of cruise on a little bit through this passage. But yes, faith is something active. Faith is when Jesus says to us, he says this or he says that. And we scratch our heads and we go, that sounds mad. That sounds crazy. But because you're saying it, Lord, because it's you that's saying it, I'm going to do it. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to move in that direction. That's what it's all about. And Peter, he gets out of the boat. Now, Peter knew if he got out of the boat, he'd be in the water. He'd done it hundreds of times. As the boat got in towards the shore, he probably jumped over the side. And there he was, up to his thighs in water, whatever. But he said, bid me come to you and walk on the water. And he got out and he started to walk towards Jesus on the water. And you know the story. He looks around, he sees the waves, he sees the wind, feels the wind, and he starts to fear and doubt. And Jesus reaches out and gets hold of him. You see, we might feel that we're full of faith, that we'll do anything for Jesus. You know, you have those meetings where really the speaker's so inspiring and the music is so great and you're all uplifted. And you go out thinking, I'll do anything for Jesus. But actually, it doesn't always work quite like that. And Peter... I've sort of jumped a little bit because I went to the end of the story with you. But Peter, you notice, when Jesus said, it's I, and he says, bid me come to the water, and then Jesus says, come. Peter just checks it out. Peter wants to check out that it is Jesus speaking. And when God asks us to step out of the water, then yes, we do check. We say, Lord, is that really you? Give me some sort of confirmation. We might like to feel that we're full of faith and we can do everything, but If we're honest with ourselves, we'll have that time when we want to check. Jesus speaks, we check it out. Is it really you? The confirmation comes, come or go, whatever it is. And then we find the situation is daunting and challenging. We call out to God. That's where I'm coming to. We call out to God in the situation. We've stepped out, but we find that it's just not working. We call out to God. Is that right? And we find that Jesus is there, giving that assistance and that assurance. Now, I could give you many examples, but I haven't been given it this morning and tonight to speak. But I will just throw you this thought. If you want to see this in action from the scriptures, look at Moses and look at Gideon. I won't explain it because of the time, but you will see. Go to Moses and go to Gideon and look how God asked them to step out of the boat. They checked with God, is it right? Are we doing these things? Started to take a few steps. Whoa, hang on. Check with God. Come back. Yes, it is right. Let's go and do it. And we know what Gideon achieved and we know what Moses achieved. I'll leave that for you. It's not homework because I won't be checking, but it's there. Jesus said to Peter, why do you doubt, O you of little faith? Peter, you've just seen 5,000 people fed. What's with you? You know, sometimes we do that. Sometimes we do that. It's not a good thing. There was a load of disciples, never even got out the boat. So let's not be too critical in our minds of Peter until we've been through the processes ourselves. Just a couple more things. Did you notice that when Jesus reached out and got hold of Peter, the wind and the waves were still there? They were still strong. The fact was that until Jesus had got hold of Peter, And they might not have been far from the boat, but did you notice? They walked back together through the waves and the wind. And it was, the story tells us, when they got back into the boat, then the wind died down. When we get out of the boat, when we launch out for Jesus, whatever he's asking us to do, when our faith is tested and tried, and we are finding it tough, Jesus is there with us, and he walks the path with us through those waves and through those winds. I've got a list of examples in green here, but another day. There are lots of situations. I'm acknowledging just quickly here that there are a lot of situations where our faith is challenged, where our trust is tested. It's not just being challenged to get out of the boat, but it could be our health. It could be looking after an elderly relative, perhaps. It could be situations which take us beyond our natural resources. And God asks us to live for him in those circumstances. Each time God, not even each time God does that. The pattern in Scripture, I just want to do two quick things. The pattern in Scripture, if you look at it, is that God constantly reminds people of what he has done in the past to give encouragement for the future. Look at the Old Testament. Constantly, God says to the people in the Old Testament, look back, I am the God who led you out of Egypt. Joshua, Moses is dead. I am the God who led you across the Red Sea. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And constantly, and in the New Testament too, they look back at what God has done, look back at what Jesus has done. And that is the confidence that God gives us for stepping out of the boat. It's look back to go forward with confidence. You know that old chorus? Some of you, I think Sean will start singing it. I better be careful. But obviously it's over there. Count your many blessings. See what God has done. Count your many blessings. Sorry, count them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Look back. Are we trusting God in these days? I've got one last thing to say and a verse. And it's this. Sometimes, and this came to me quite late actually, we were around at David and Anne's, and it was quite late, but I said, do you know something just came to me today, and I'm not sure whether I should include it or not, and I'm just, anyway, it's just here, just a thought. Sometimes we step out, but I think it's important, sometimes we step out of the boat, and things don't go as we expect. We think we've failed. What do we do about stepping out of the boat and failing, a bit like Peter did in some ways? What do we do about that? We think we failed. Listen, we still grow. We still grow because we learn through failure as much, if not more, than we learn through success. I do want to give you one example just to illustrate this very quickly here. John Mark, do you know who he was? He was a guy who went with Paul and Barnabas on the first missionary journey. They went to Cyprus. Mark, well out of his comfort zone, well out. He couldn't hack it. He couldn't stay the course. He went home. Paul was so annoyed with him that when they came to do a second missionary journey, Paul would not take Mark with them. He said to Barnabas, no way. He let us down. So Paul goes off with Silas, and Barnabas takes Mark and goes on back to Cyprus and ministers with him. Mark stepped out of the boat, but he failed. But do you know, there's two things about John Mark. I used to do this with a group of a seminar at Bullstone with people like short-term workers. And I used to say to them, do you know what John Mark did? Now, some of them knew that he went back as a missionary with Barnabas, a second chance, if you like, and was involved in missionary work. But a lot of people hadn't cottoned on to the other thing that John Mark did. Did anybody know? Quickly? I've sent you to sleep. No, I'll tell you. He wrote Mark's gospel. John Mark wrote Mark's gospel. And I say to people, I say to you this morning, here's John Mark, a failure. Stepped out of the boat and it didn't go right. How many people do you think have read Mark's gospel and come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior? Is it 100? Is it 1,000? Is it 100,000? Is it millions? Is it? That's not bad for a failure. First time out, stepping out of the boat, and he botched it big style, upset the Apostle Paul. Not bad for a failure, is it? I'm going to leave you with a verse. I would ask James Taylor to tell me what the verse is, and he probably knows, but I won't embarrass him. I'm just going to have to take a sip of this, and I'm going to recite the verse, and then we'll close. And it's this. Always remember, and particularly remember when God is asking you to step out of the boat. And those who've read our newsletter and sort of start to grasp on things will know that we're actually facing another stepping out of the boat experience soon. I won't go into that. I'm just going to read the verse. Always remember, particularly when God asks you to step out of the boat, remember him. He is the one who is able to do, smiling, he is the one who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory. Amen. Let's pray. 30 seconds. Lord, we thank you for the power of your word. We thank you for your promise of your constant presence with us. We thank you for the fact, Lord, that you are able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power, that power of Jesus. Encourage us this morning, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.